Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. As always, it's great to have you along. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to either like, follow, or subscribe, depending on what platform you're on. And it would be great if you could leave us a review if your platform allows. In today's episode, we're going to be covering confidence. I'm going to share with you a series of techniques and tools you can use to boost your confidence. Before we get started on today's episode, I just want to have a quick look back at episode 19. In episode 19, I shared with you 8 rules for life from some of the world's top sports coaches. If you haven't already had a chance, give episode 19 a listen. Let's get on with this episode of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. As I said, today is all about confidence. And confidence is one of the main subjects that comes up when I'm one-to-one coaching. In fact, I would say it's probably one of the primary reasons people approach me for coaching work in terms of confidence around it. It could be their work, it could be an up-and-coming interview, it could be confidence with a presentation, it could be improving their confidence in the sporting arena. But it is one of the key themes that runs through my coaching work. So in this episode, I want to share with you a series of tools, techniques that you can use to either boost your confidence or help your confidence to grow. The first technique is what I call the 4-minute rule. And it's called the 4-minute rule because that's the amount of time roughly you spend practicing or using this technique. This technique is best used when you're sitting quietly somewhere. Don't you try it when you're driving or operating machinery. Only do it when it's safe to do so. And it's very simple. You sit somewhere quietly and you get a mental image of yourself. Close your eyes, get an image of yourself being totally confident. And then ask yourself, what would a totally confident me look like? How would they look? How would they stand? How would they hold themselves? How would they appear to the outside world? Construct that image of what a totally confident you would look like. It could be doing the presentation you've got to do. It could be in that interview. It could be in the sporting arena. But close your eyes, spend a few minutes getting a picture of what a totally confident you would look like in that arena. Once you've got that, how would they act? How would they walk? How would they talk? How would the breathing be? What would the voice sound like? What rate or how quick or how slow would their voice be? What would they be saying to themselves internally? So how would they act? Get that image of how they would act. Just spend a few minutes constructing this image. And then lastly, how would they feel? How would a totally confident you feel? What feelings would they have? And as you construct that image, let that image grow in your mind and spend a few minutes pondering it. And then you might even find it helps them, once you've constructed that image, just visualize yourself stepping into that confident you that you've constructed and wearing that confidence as a cloak, almost as your own cloak of confidence, as it were. If you do this on a regular basis, either before your performance or in the days or weeks leading up to it, it'll have a profound impact on how you feel and how you approach that particular event, performance, etc. If you're struggling to come up with a confident version of you, find a role model that you look up to who you regard as being particularly confident. And it could be in the field you're working in, or it could be not related, but you feel that their confidence could be translated over into the presentation or the interview you've got to do. So find that role model and again go through the same process. How would they act? How would they look? How would they feel? And just spend 4 minutes constructing that image. And you'll find as you construct that image, your own physiology will change. You will become more upright. You'll feel that confidence. And as I said, once you've constructed that image, step into that image and wear it like a cloak and almost lock it into yourself. So that's technique number one, the 4 minute rule. Technique number two is what I call the power pose. I can't take credit for this particular technique. It's something that was developed by Amy Cuddy, who was an American social psychologist and author and speaker. One of her talks is on TED Talks, well worth a listen. And she is known for the promotion of power posing. Now, if you think about it, if you go into the natural world and you look at the alpha of the group, that you know, the dominant male or female of any group, they make themselves big. They will expand their body and make themselves big. You'll often see the alpha primate of any group with their hands up in the air, you know, waving their arms out while away from the body. That is a power pose. Whereas if you think of the opposite, if you are nervous, scared, or intimidated, we shrink. We shrink down in our chairs. We make ourselves smaller. It's a protection mechanism. And the brain seems to recognize that. So if you find yourself shrinking or in a hunched pose, if you make yourself taller, you will instantly feel more confidence. Amy Cuddy and her research took that one step further. They found that if people adopted one of a number of power poses, one is what I call the Wonder Woman or the Superman pose, where it's feet shoulder width apart, hands on her hips. That's quite a powerful pose. The other one is, again, feet shoulder width apart, but hands up in the air, making like a Y symbol. Arms spread quite wide apart. Again, that's another very powerful pose. I like to add to that one by telling people, if you're going to do the power poses, the Y-shaped one is brilliant. But also get your head up and get a smile on your face. That even boosts that confidence even more. The other one is, sort of, if you're in a desk-type environment, is feet up on your desk, hands interlocked behind the back of your head. And that is another power pose. You'll often see this in meetings where not so much the feet on the desk, but you'll find that the alpha person in a meeting or the person who feels dominant will sometimes interlace the fingers and put their hands behind the back of the head, you know, sort of that. And that is a power pose. They're trying to sort of inflict their power or their confidence on the group. I often say to people, whether it's a sporting arena or an interview or a presentation, just find somewhere 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes before your interview, your performance, and go and do a power pose. Get your arms, you know, up in that Y shape, feet shoulder width apart, and spend a couple of minutes in a power pose, head up, smile on your face, and it will boost your confidence. And that's what Amy Cuddy found. She found that by adopting a power pose, it had an impact on a physiological level. Hormones such as testosterone, even in women, were boosted through the power pose. People felt more confident. They appeared more confident. In one of the exercises, people were sent into an interview panel and they were split into two groups. One group did power poses. The other group didn't. They just approached the interview in their normal way. And it was found, and the first thing the interviewers were asked to assess was the appearance or the confidence, a confident appearance of the candidate as they came through the door. With the power pose individuals who'd done 2 minutes of power posing before walking into the room, they were judged by the panel to appear more confident. So that's power poses. Give them a go. Get into one of those poses and hold it for 2 minutes. If you can't get away somewhere quiet to do a power pose, why not just monitor your body language? Are you hunched up? Are you small? If you feel yourself sitting in an interview or pre-performance, whether that's in the sporting field or the business field, and you feel yourself hunched up, doubled over, making yourself small, spread yourself out. Get your body upright. move your arms out away from body. Anything where your arms are across your chest or covering your body is, again, that defensive pose. If you expand your body out to open out to a bigger area, that one shows confidence, but you feel confident. So that was technique number two. Let's go on to technique number three, mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal is used a lot in the sporting field. And it's just, again, finding somewhere quiet during the course of your day, whether it's the beginning or the end of your day. And again, warning here is only do this when it's safe to do so. Don't do it when you're driving or operating machinery. It's finding somewhere quiet and sitting and going through a mental rehearsal of your performance and watching it go well. Seeing yourself performing at the best of your ability and down to the minutest of detail, the details of the room, the location, the audience, the sounds that will be around you, capture everything as if it was really happening. What you've got to remember with mental rehearsal is the brain cannot tell the difference between what we imagine and what is real, and it has the same impact. It triggers the same neural pathways. If you can day in, day out, spend 5-10 minutes mentally rehearsing your performance, whatever that may be, it will light the same neural pathways as the real thing. And if you're performing correctly and to the best of your ability, it'll hardwire in the same results. I remember back in 1997, when Damon, I think it was 96, 97, Damon Hill was going for the F1 world title. And there was a particular shot of him sat in the cockpit of his car in the pits, and his head was moving side to side. And at this point, I'd never come across mental rehearsal. And one of the commentators said, oh yeah, Damon's mentally rehearsing is fast lap. It was the qualifying stage. And what Damon was doing, he was driving the lap in his mind before he actually went out and drove it for real. And again, he would approach that fast lap exactly in his mind as he would do in real life. So try mental rehearsal. Mentally rehearse that presentation or that sports performance, the speech, the interview. It helps if you, as I say, it's if the environment's the same, it's worth maybe doing a visit to the venue so you can get a feel for what it looks like. But mental rehearsal is key to lighting the same pathways, neural pathways that is, and sealing in an outstanding, confident performance. The next technique is technique four. Keep a record of your accomplishments. We all have periods of times when we doubt our own ability. We question whether we can do something or we can't do something. Over time, keep a record of your accomplishments, whether that's work performance, compliments you get. If somebody compliments you on a particular presentation, make a note of it. Put it in a file. If you achieve something, if you get an email from your boss saying that you did a particular project particularly well, print it off, put it in a file. If you have a particular sporting performance that goes really well and you're really proud of it, keep a record of it, put it somewhere and construct this file of your accomplishments. And then in the times that you're doubting yourself, pull that file out and read through them. You'll be amazed at the impact that has on how you feel and the confidence you have by going back over past performances where you perform well and confidently and were actually either congratulated or complimented on it. Going through those gives you a confidence boost. The next technique, technique five, examine your inner coach. We all have that voice in our head that talks to us after we have executed our presentation, speech, interview. If that voice was your coach and you were employing that coach, Is that how you would want your coach speaking to you? If that inner voice is critical, derisory, picking faults, they are not the coach you want. You need to change that inner voice. That inner voice needs to be supportive and helping you to get the best out of yourself. If you stop yourself whenever you find that voice being critical and say, is this how I would want my inner coach to talk to me? You want your inner coach to be supportive, analytical, reframing situations to say, yeah, not I took this learning from that, whatever went on there, and examining it and taking away the positives and looking what you would do differently next time. So if you've got that critical coach, it's time to sack your inner coach and employ a positive, supportive inner voice. It takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of time, and you've got to stop that critical voice whenever it comes along, but it's well worth examining your inner coach. Your inner coach needs to inspire your confidence and pick you up and keep you on the right track. Technique number 6 is focus on what you can control. I've touched on this in an earlier podcast, but I feel it's particularly relevant to confidence. When you're going into any arena, in terms of it could be a presentation or an interview, you can't make the panel love you. That's outside of your control, but you can focus on what you can control. And a nice little exercise to do before any particular event is to sit with a piece of paper, put it into two columns. On the right-hand side, write down what is outside of your control. So it could be, again, the interview panel might not like me. The traffic on the way to the venue could be particularly bad and make you late. The interview questions might be particularly tough or not what you expect. They might already have a candidate in mind. These are the kind of things that are outside of your control. So that's what you write on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, you write the things that are in your control. So, for example, you plan the journey beforehand. You might even drive the journey or practice the journey before, days before the interview. You research the company. You practice or think of obscure questions that they might not ask. You plan everything ahead. You prepare the clothes you're going to wear. You read through the job specification thoroughly, thinking of the questions that they could ask you around the job specification. You prepare as thoroughly as you can. Once you've got your two columns, in the middle of those two columns, then you write down the main things you're going to focus on. So it could be the preparation, reading the job spec, preparing questions, getting somebody to interview you as if they were the interviewer. That will give you confidence. And you can do this for anything that you're facing, whether it's an interview, presentation, a high performing event where you need to perform at your best. This focusing on what you can control can be undertaken for any event you're going to do. The next technique is a particular favorite of mine. And anybody who's listened to the podcast will have heard me say it all before, but adopt the mantra of there is no failure, only feedback. If you go into anything thinking this is an opportunity to grow and to gain experience and to learn, you will go in feeling so much more confident. Low confidence people go into challenging situations expecting the worst. They are expecting to fail. That increases the chance that they will fail. They're already setting themselves up for failure. However, if you walk into any challenging situation thinking this is an opportunity for me to grow, for me to learn, and to come away with a new experience and tools, knowledge that I can use later, you're more likely, one, to take on the challenge, two, to complete it successfully. You're going into that challenge with a growth mindset. Remember, the brain has neuroplasticity, which means it grows with new knowledge, new experience, new routines. So adopting that growth mindset will give you the confidence to go into challenging scenarios and look at them as an opportunity to grow, to learn as an individual. I cannot stress how important the mantra of there's no failure, only feedback, and how adopting that mantra will improve your confidence. Why not become a fearless mistake maker? The next technique is what I call burn your boats. Throughout history, during conflict, there are a number of famous instances where the commander, having landed in a hostile country, ordered his men to destroy their ships so that they would have to conquer the country or die trying. Now, that sounds quite a dramatic phrase, but there's a number of times in history this has been done. One was in the 711 AD when the Muslim forces invaded the Iberian Peninsula. The commander at the time ordered his ships to be burnt. Another incident was in 519 AD during the Spanish conquest of Mexico. Again, the Spanish commander scuttled his ships so that his men would have to conquer the country or die trying. There was no retreat. And a third incident occurred after the Bounty mutineers reached Pitcairn Islands. I know it's a dramatic phrase to burn your boats, but if you lessen the chance of yourself backing out of doing something, the more likely you are to follow it through. And by following through, you'll gain confidence and grow as an individual. So that could be just, if you're planning to lose weight, for example, announcing that challenge, that what the goal you're setting out to somebody else. If you're launching a business, go out and buy the critical piece of equipment you need. I can remember reading about a young entrepreneur who set himself up a business as a mobile, I think it was fruit sales, and to commit himself to the business, he went out and he didn't buy the van, he had a loan to buy the van. So he'd got a van sitting on his drive that he was paying monthly payments for, and he knew to repay that van, he had to go out and make the business a success. So effectively, he burnt his boat. He was committed. Think of the ways that you can commit yourself to whatever it is in terms of the speech you've got to give, the presentation, the interview. What action would you have to take to burn your boats so you are fully committed and cannot back out? You've got to go in and undertake the challenge. That you've not given yourself the opportunity to back out. The last tip is very simple. Act. Just do it. Dale Carnegie said, action breeds confidence. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy. Similarly, trying new things will breed confidence. Two questions to ask yourself are, what can I do today that make me feel uncomfortable? What challenge will push me out of my comfort zone? There's a life coach that I read about who actually challenges his clients to make themselves feel comfortable every day, to go into a takeaway restaurant and ask for something that is not on the menu. So he would get them to go into a pizza takeaway and ask for a burger. He will ask them to go into a burger takeaway and ask for a pizza. That, and it's done in all seriousness, politely and friendly. It's just asking for the wrong thing in the wrong shop. And as he said, it's that fear of rejection and the fear of looking silly, but going in there and do it, that actually breeds confidence. He said after his clients had done it a few times, they actually see their confidence grow. Another way of approaching this is, why not set yourself the challenge in one particular day for everything you buy, ask for a discount. So if you go into the coffee shop in the morning, order a coffee, why not say, oh, can I have 10% off? See what happens. If you do that during the course of the day, even if you're rejected, what's the worst they can do? Say no. But if you do it enough, your confidence will go through the roof. What are those huge goals that you've been putting off? Or what is that biggest fear that you want to conquer? The way to do it is to act. Get out of the comfort zone, feel uncomfortable, and just do it. Go out there and act. Get yourself in the situation. Then the other technique could come into play. There's no failure, only feedback. You learn, you grow. give it a go, act. Those were my tools, tips, or techniques for boosting your confidence. Give them a go. Let me know how you find them, which one works for you. I'd love to hear from you. That was the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with friends, family, anybody you think will be interested in the show. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and a review. To make sure you catch future episodes, please click either follow or subscribe, whichever is appropriate for your platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter at WinningEdgeCOA1. That's at WinningEdgeCOA1. Thanks again. See you next time.